song. Thanks for listening to VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter Jr. and Dan Friedel. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
The United Nations said 26% of the world's population does not have safe drinking water in a report released Tuesday. The UN World Water Development Report 2023's release comes at the start of a three-day meeting on water resources and usage in New York City. Richard Connor is the main editor of the report. He told reporters at the release that the estimated cost of meeting the UN's goals for water is between $600 billion and $1 trillion. Connor said it was just as important to develop partnerships with investors, financiers, governments, and climate change groups. These forms of cooperation, Connor said, would ensure that the money spent would provide drinkable water to 2 billion people who do not have it, and sanitation to 3.6 billion who lack it. The report warns that water use around the world is growing 1% a year and is expected to grow at a similar rate to 2050. Connor said the increase in demand is happening in developing countries and emerging economies. That is because urban areas and industries are using more water. Agriculture alone, Connor said, uses 70% of the world's water supply and has to be better planned. The report also said that seasonal lack of water will increase in Central Africa, East Asia, and parts of South America. That is in addition to areas that already have water scarcity, such as the Middle East and the Sahara area of Africa. The report said this is the result of temperature increases in the Earth's atmosphere. The UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization is responsible for the latest water report. It said, on average, 10% of the global population lives in countries with high or critical water stress. And 3.5 billion people live under conditions of water stress at least 1 month out of the year. The report also commented on weather events. It said floods in tropical areas near the equator have increased by 2.5 times. But Connor said weather conditions involving lack of rain or drought were more difficult to establish. He said an increase in intensity or frequency of droughts and heat extremes can be expected in most regions as a direct result of climate change. Connor added that the biggest producer of pollution is untreated wastewater. He said 80% of wastewater around the world is untreated, but in developing countries it is pretty much 99%. An estimated 171 countries and 100 ministers are attending the 3-day meeting. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Japan's national baseball team defeated the United States Tuesday night in Miami to win the World Baseball Classic, WBC, for the third time. The final score was 3-2. The team's star player, Shohei Ohtani, pitched the final inning. He recorded the last out by striking out his Los Angeles Angels teammate, Mike Trout. Some experts consider them the two best players in the world. It was the first time they ever faced each other. Ohtani is a special player because he is both one of the best pitchers and one of the best hitters in baseball. He won the tournament's Most Valuable Player Award for his hitting and pitching during the 2-week event. After the game, Ohtani said on the worldwide television broadcast, "I believe this is the best moment in my life." Fans in Japan celebrated as Ohtani threw the final pitch early Wednesday, Tokyo time. Over 100 people gathered near the Shimbashi Station area to get special printings of a newspaper with the game result. Police helped control the crowd and passed out copies. Yuji Takeno, 33, was there. "I am so proud as a Japanese national," he said. "I also play baseball for fun, and it makes me want to work harder. That's how well they played." Sho Ishii, 29, watched the game on a large screen at a public viewing event near Tokyo Tower. "Thank you, Ohtani. Thank you, Samurai Team Japan," he shouted after the final pitch. The words "Nihon Yusho," which mean "Japan victory," became the number one subject of a discussion on Twitter in Japan. I'm Dan Friedel.
Adobe has become the latest technology company to offer artificial intelligence, AI tools, among its products. The tools belong to a group of systems known as generative AI. Such tools use algorithms to train AI systems on huge amounts of data to produce human-quality results. One of the most highly publicized generative AI tools is called ChatGPT. The system received wide media attention last year after being launched by the company OpenAI. When launched, ChatGPT demonstrated the ability to quickly produce human-quality written documents. In recent weeks, several major American technology companies, including Google and Microsoft, announced plans to add ChatGPT-like systems to their products. Experts say such tools are expected in the future to bring major changes to many different industries and professions. Adobe is a software company that creates products used for creating and publishing digital documents and internet content. Professional photographers and digital content producers have long used Adobe products such as Photoshop, Illustrator, and Premiere Pro to create high-quality pictures and documents. Adobe recently announced the launch of its AI offerings, which the company described as a family of creative, generative AI models. It is calling the new system Firefly. In announcing the service on its website, Adobe showed the result of an image created by the tool. The company explained that Firefly generated the image after receiving a brief description of text commands. In this case, the system was asked to produce a 3D version of a paper dragon in studio-style photography. The colorful image generated by Firefly showed a city with buildings and roads that looked like origami, the Japanese art of folding paper into complex shapes. Adobe said generative AI lets people paint with text instead of pixels or paint. In business operations, the company says Firefly can help companies connect with users through auto-generated texts, emails, and content. In its announcement, Adobe noted the company also recognizes that generative AI is only as good as the data it was trained on. Sometimes such systems can produce results that discriminate against some groups, including underrepresented communities and minorities. In an attempt to limit such discrimination or bias, Adobe says its engineering team is continuously working to examine and test Firefly's algorithms. In addition, the company noted it makes it easy for any user to report system errors or discrimination. Adobe also brought up the subject of copyrights, a major issue that has faced generative AI systems. Some companies have been criticized for training their algorithms on copyrighted material from the Internet. Any materials generated by those algorithms could be violating legal copyright protections. Adobe says the first version of its Firefly tool was trained only on its own huge image collection, as well as openly licensed content and internet content that is no longer copyrighted. The company says the tool was developed in this way to give users a competitive edge when using Firefly to produce ethical materials that are free of copyrights. In addition, Adobe said it created a system to permit photographers to request that their content not be used to train on its algorithms. Eli Greenfield, Adobe's chief technology officer, told Reuters news agency the company was very interested in making the Firefly tool creator-friendly. Another major American technology company, NVIDIA, also recently announced its own generative AI service called Picasso. It is designed to generate images, video, and 3D presentations from simple text descriptions. NVIDIA makes hardware and software systems related to a series of computing activities. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me now to talk more about this week's technology report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Sure, Ashley. Glad to be here.
This week, we heard about another announcement by another big technology company, this time Adobe, about new AI tools it plans to introduce. Today, let's look at some words in the story that might be new to English learners.
Yes, that sounds good, Ashley. First of all, I would like to talk about a term we're seeing more and more in media stories about the latest AI tool developments. The term is generative AI, and it is used to describe a kind of AI that permits users to type simple text descriptions into a system to generate complex written documents, images, or videos. These kinds of AI tools are all being called generative AI.
And generative AI is the technology that powers the much-publicized ChatGPT writing system, correct?
Yes, that's right. And in the report, we define the word generative as an ability to produce or create something. So an AI system that is generative is able to produce high-quality content very quickly and based only on simple text instructions.
Okay, well, thanks again, Brian, for joining me on today's program.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In the years after World War I, new technologies changed America. Technology made it possible for millions of people to improve their lives. It also brought great changes in American society. Harry Monroe and Kay Gallant tell more about the technological and social changes that took place in the United States in the early 1920s.
Some of the most important changes came as a result of the automobile and the radio. Automobiles began to be mass-produced. They were low enough in cost, so many Americans could buy them. Gasoline was low in cost, too. Together, these developments put America on the move as never before. Automobiles made it easy for Americans to travel. Trucks made it easy for goods to be transported. Many people and businesses moved out of crowded, noisy cities. They moved to open areas outside cities, suburbs.
As automobiles helped Americans spread out, the radio helped bring them closer together. Large networks could broadcast the same radio program to many stations at the same time. Soon, Americans everywhere were listening to the same programs. They laughed at the same jokes, sang the same songs, heard the same news. Another invention that produced big changes in American life was the motion picture.
American inventor Thomas Edison began making short motion pictures at the turn of the century. In 1903, a movie called The Great Train Robbery was the first to tell a complete story. In 1915, D.W. Griffith made a long, serious movie called Birth of a Nation. By the early 1920s, many American towns had a movie theater. Most Americans went to see the movies at least once a week. The movie industry became a big business. People might not know the names of government officials, but they knew the names of every leading actor and actress.
Movies were fun. They provided a change from the day-to-day troubles of life. They also were an important social force. Young Americans tried to copy what they saw in the movies, and they dreamed about faraway places and a different kind of life. A young farm boy could imagine himself as romantic hero Douglas Fairbanks or comedian Charlie Chaplin. A young city girl could imagine herself as the beautiful and brave Mary Pickford. Rich families and poor families saw the same movies. Their children shared the same wish to be like the movie stars. In this way, the son of a banker and the son of a factory worker had much in common. The same was true for people from different parts of the country.
In the early 1920s, Americans also began reading the same publications. The publishing industry used some of the same kinds of mass production methods as the automobile industry. It began producing magazines in larger amounts. It began selling the same magazines all over the country. One of the most widely read magazines was the Saturday Evening Post. In 1902, it sold about 300,000 copies each week. 20 years later, it sold more than 2 million copies each week. Americans everywhere shared the same information and advice in such nationwide magazines. The information was not always correct. The advice was not always good. But the effect was similar to that caused by the automobile and radio. Parts of American society were becoming more alike. They were trying to move toward the same kind of life, economically and socially.
Other industries use the techniques of assembly line production to make their goods, too. They discovered that producing large numbers of goods reduced the cost of each one. One company that expanded in this way was the Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company. It was called A&P for short. The A&P was one of the first large American grocery stores to sell all kinds of food. It sold milk, meat, bread, canned fruits, and vegetables, all in the same store. Shopping at the A&P was much faster and easier than going to different stores to get different kinds of food. In 1912, A&P had 400 stores in the United States. About 10 years later, it had more than 11,000 stores. It could buy huge amounts of goods and sell each at a very low price.
Mass production also came to the clothing industry. People began wearing clothes made in factories instead of by a family member or local tailor. Before long, the same kinds of clothes could be found everywhere. Mass production removed some differences that had marked Americans in the past. Prices dropped, so people with little money could still buy nice clothes. It became more difficult to look at Americans and know by their clothes if they were rich or poor.
Social changes also resulted from great progress in medical research. Doctors and scientists reported new developments in the fight against disease. This progress gave most Americans a longer life. In 1900, for example, the average person in the United States could expect to live 49 years. By 1927, the average person could expect to live 59 years.
Life expectancy rates climbed because doctors and scientists developed effective ways to prevent or treat diseases such as tuberculosis, typhoid, diphtheria, and influenza. Yellow fever and smallpox were no longer a threat. One new medicine was insulin. It was used to treat diabetes. A man-made version gave diabetics the insulin their bodies did not have. It cut the death rate from the disease from 70% to about 1%. Doctors and scientists also learned the importance of vitamins to good health. Now, they could cure several diseases caused by a lack of vitamins.
Americans in the 1920s lived much better than their fathers and mothers. A man received more pay than in the past, even though he worked fewer hours each day. He lived in a better house with new labor-saving devices. He had a car to drive to work and to take his family on holiday trips. He received a better education than his father. He and his family wore better clothes. They ate healthier foods. The average American in the 1920s had more time for sports and entertainment. He enjoyed listening to the radio and watching movies. He was more informed about national and world events.
Life was good for many Americans as World War I ended and the nation entered the 1920s, yet that life was far from perfect. Many Americans did not have the same chances to improve their lives. Black Americans continued to suffer from racism. Society continued to deny them their rights as citizens. Women did not have equal rights either. For example, they could not vote. It was during this time that the United States experienced one of its worst incidents of public hatred. Many people turned strongly against labor unions and leftists. They feared a threat to democracy. The federal government took action against what it called political extremists. Many of the charges were unfair. Many innocent lives were harmed.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm